And now, Tim Dillon is going to hell! With Tim Dillon and Ray Kump.
Hey, welcome to Tim Dillon's Going to Hell, everybody. We are back here Tuesday, March 6th, awaiting the snowstorm that's supposedly going to blanket the area with snow. And nothing yet, but, you know, we'll be keeping you updated throughout our live broadcast. As always, you know, I don't know.
How much are they talking? What
are they saying, Shannon? You hear anything? What is it, a couple inches? Or?
No, last I heard, they said 6 to 12. That was in Staten Island, though. That'll...
Isn't the ground warm so it won't stick?
I don't know how it works, but I'll tell you this. I'm hoping we get nothing. I don't want any snow. That is one of the things that changes when you're an adult versus when you're a kid. When you're a kid, all you want is snow. And then when you're an adult, you're like, snow is disgusting.
Well, I still have to go to work.
Yeah. Snow is, and it's also just... It's disgusting now.
Just covered in dirt. And
yeah,
piss. And blood.
Feels like a urinal. You feel like you're walking around. It's like, ugh. It's crazy. Fuck it. I don't like it. No snow. Me and Ray Kump are back together a few weeks.
Missed you, buddy.
Yeah, it's good to be back here. I'm heading into... I'm like, I think I'm going to become a Maoist. I really believe that. I really believe the end of the journey here is that I go hard into Marxism. That's the only place left to go for me, and I think I'm going.
Well,
I think I'm going there.
This whole country really is built on, like, screwing the little guy.
Yeah, like,
and you're making moves. You're not there yet, but you're making moves towards being, not elite per se, but you're getting away from, you know, from the poor dregs of society. And as you go on,
yeah,
with this Trump stuff, you can't, like, it's worse to make more money.
That's like the whole thing is for everyone that listens to this show and doesn't like that, whatever, you don't feel I'm far enough to the left for you. Don't worry, it's coming. It's coming. This show ends. I'm in Antifa and I'm throwing rocks through the window.
I feel like we could shape up Antifa.
I'm telling you, that might be the logical progression of this show.
Like, they're beating up Nazis. That's noble, but, like, let's just string up some bankers.
We suggested giving it to Barbara Bush.
Yeah.
One of our last episodes. We suggested...
Go to the source, all right? I don't know why they're pussyfooting around with, like, white nationalists.
Yeah.
Like, small foot.
Yeah.
Throw a rock through a Rolls Royce.
Right.
You can find one. I don't know where they
The idea of just me and you with rocks trying to hit a Rolls Royce just keeps going by. We can't get it.
He lands like 2 feet in front of us.
The driver's like cocky. He's like, I'll stop here for a second. Yeah. We'll still miss it. You
fat fucks can't throw
you
anything.
You dumb fucks. But yeah, man, it's a real shit show out there. My second cousin won third cousin once removed. He's like a different race. So he's like, I don't know what he is. His name's Lopez. Mine's Dylan. I'm Irish. He's something else.
I guarantee you
something. I think it's Spanish, but I don't know.
I guarantee you something.
His dad's Asian.
He's not worried about how you're related.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely not. But my family, I met this dude twice in my life. Once was at my grandmother's funeral. He's a genius, but he's not at all personable,
right.
And nor should he be. I get it.
And they often aren't.
I get it. He was composing symphonies at 12.
I mean, Mozart was doing it at 6, but that's still impressive.
I think he was actually doing it pre-12, but 12 was when he had like the...
Okay.
He was writing musicals. He got a full ride to Yale.
That's insane.
He wrote the music for the Book of Mormon, Avenue Q, Frozen, that song Let It Go. He's won Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony, the youngest EGOT winner in history, and then he did it again. He's won it twice.
Wow.
Okay? Now, I say this to say that. That being said, it couldn't be less relevant to our family, and my extended family is obsessed with this guy. This guy could not care if we all burned to death. I mean, the entire family,
right.
All of us in a house, burned to death. If his wife came up to him in the morning, whatever he's doing, eating a cantaloupe, humming a symphony, and she came up to him and goes, you know that the Ryan Dillon, they were all in the house. They got trapped and they were burned to death. I mean, cooked alive. I guarantee his response would be, That would be it.
Let me ask you, because you told on a few times in this podcast your stories of growing up with your family and the violent riots that would occur at holidays.
Yes.
The drunken revelry.
Yeah, it's the other side.
Okay, it's the other side. So he wasn't... Yeah. All right.
No, listen. He grew up in the city. I liked his mom a lot. His mom was fucking awesome. She was a smoker, had a great raspy voice. I bought a pack of Marlboros today. I had a few of them. Never felt better. Never felt better. I don't know how you smoke those reservation cigarettes. They never did it.
They're cheap.
Yeah. Well, all right. He was always a guy that was like far off in a different world. I met him when I was a child actor. I think they came to one thing that I did. But again, I have not met.
Yeah. I mean, let's be clear. Like, yeah, you're technically family, but like, I'm sure there's guys he grew up with who were like the closest friends he had who he never talks to.
Of course.
You know?
But so it's just funny because I go to get my mother from the mental institution today to take her to Outback. Outback would not make us the Sydney Sinful Sunday. They've taken that off the menu.
Can you please, for us, not as well versed in Outback, can you explain what that is?
Sydney Sinful Sunday is vanilla ice cream, hot fudge, coconut shavings, fresh whipped cream, strawberries.
That's nice.
Very nice. They don't make it anymore. Now, the last time we went, the waitress goes, if you call ahead, we'll make it for you. I call ahead, they
So they have the coconut.
They have it all.
They just won't put it together.
Listen.
What are these
slobs
doing?
These restaurants like to pretend that they're like a real restaurant.
Are they?
And they're making decisions. And
was I wrong? Are they making these blooming onions like by hand, piece by piece?
I don't know what the hell they're doing.
I thought they were microwaving.
I don't know what they're doing. But I call Outback today. I go, can you please, I'm coming in about an hour. Can you make the Sydney Sinful Sunday? She goes, well, we don't have it on the menu anymore. I said, I know that. See if you can make it. She comes back. She's like, we don't make it anymore. So I'm like, fine. Fuck them. We'll go to the diner. Fuck the Outback is trash for the most part. You know? It's whatever.
It's not good. The steak is garbage.
It's garbage. I mean, you get away with a burger there. Look at the Sydney City. Is that the Sinful? That's nice.
That looks way better than it should be at the Outback.
It's crusted with coconut around the ice cream. It was nice. It's the only fucking dessert that's worth anything in the fucking Outback.
Right.
So I go, can you make it for me and my mentally ill mother? She loves the Sydney Sinful Sunday. She comes in and no.
Yeah.
So I said, fine. So I show up to take her to the diner. My Uncle Steve has shown up. Sweet guy. Like him a lot. He's one of the people I really like.
Yeah.
He is very good to her.
Right?
What?
The kayaker.
He kayaks and shit. He's very good to her. So he shows up with double stacks from Wendy's for her and her friend.
Oh, nice.
But he's like, we're in a mental institution. We're walking into the elevator. And like, he's like, Patty, did you hear Bobby won the EGOT? It's like, could anything be less relevant than this? My mom's all excited. My mom's like, he's always been a genius. Then I'm like, does this guy know that we exist?
No.
Does he know? Like, there's like, my aunt will text me, like, Bobby's up for an award. Say a prayer. And I'm like, say a prayer for me.
Can you imagine?
Pray for me.
Can you imagine the horror? You're Bobby Lopez.
Yeah.
You've won two EGOTs.
Right.
You are a legitimate genius.
Right.
Children around the world sing your song. Like,
right.
Let it go.
All over.
All over.
Yeah.
And you still have to think about the Dylans. That's horror.
The idea, by the way, of like, he, and I liked his acceptance speech. If you saw it, the woman went, his wife went, my daughters, we love you. Yeah. You're our inspiration. And then he grabbed the mic and he went with his award. He goes, this is not for you.
Right.
Dead serious. Dead serious. No laughter.
Right.
No self-awareness. Dead serious. This ain't for you.
But he was saying it's for grandma.
Yeah, it's like, it's for my mother. Yeah. It's not for you. Yeah. He could have just said, and this is for my mother. But he said, it ain't for you.
Yeah.
Hey, girls.
My accomplishments aren't yours.
Right. You know what I mean?
Make your own way.
All these losers, by the way, at the Oscars tweeting like, you know these people. I hope Timmy wins. Timothy Chalamet? Really? You're calling him Timmy? It's your buddy? I hope he wins. Your friend Timmy?
Look.
Stop the familiarity, folks, because you know what? Then you're going to find out in 3 months that someone's a rapist, and then all of a sudden you go, ooh. Because you're calling them pet names on Twitter because you think you know these people, and you don't. Is that what you call Harvey? I hope Harvey wins. I hope Whiny wins.
A lot of these people were good people. I liked a lot of these people we met.
Sure.
That being said, the taste there, like,
well, nobody knows what we even did. Set it up.
We, on Sunday night for the Oscars, co-hosted at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington a live Oscar party.
Yes.
Where we basically, during commercial breaks, entertain the crowd.
Banter.
Yeah.
This is it.
They trivia have
a,
questions.
It's an independent movie theater in Huntington, Long Island. Right. Long Island, as we've established before, is full of goons. There's a small percentage of people. Most people in Long Island would just watch the movies The Rock was in over and over. San Andreas, The Rock takes on an earthquake or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They love that. Fast and Furious 27. They, literally, my friend Ryan, his girlfriend, said to him, this is how she pitched him a movie once. I'll never forget that. She goes, come on, let's go see this one. You'll like it. I saw the preview. There's a lot of explosions. That's what she said.
Jesus.
So that's the majority. Now, there's a little group of people that likes independent foreign films.
Like me, a cultured man.
Like you.
I frequented the Cinema Arts Center on many occasions.
Yeah.
So many movies. They're a great place.
I went to the one in Malvern, which is smaller, similar thing.
Right. Yeah. And look, it was a fun time.
Yeah.
That being said, the taste of these people.
Yeah, once a year, they have this Oscar event, by the way, where they put a big screen up, and 200 people, I would say, come out. They have a dinner, and they fucking watch the Oscars.
Right.
And me and Ray are bantering, and they have sponsors, local sponsors, come up and go, hi, my name's Teresa from Prime Real Estate. This movie theater is very important to the community, because it's... That's how we sell the houses. You know, we tell them that they can come here. And
she literally said something to the effect of, it's not just selling bathroom fixtures.
Yeah.
It's about community.
Yeah, it's not just overhearing who's getting divorced and then stalking them and following them and getting the listing. It's about telling someone that when you buy that house, you can go see...
Bend it like Beckham.
Yeah, you can go whack it in the back to call me by your name during the workday. Nobody's going to know. Your wife won't know.
I know it's an old reference, but I did see Bend It Like Beckham.
I never went to that one. That one was too far away for me. I used to go to the ones in the city a lot, the IFC Center, Landmark Sunshine, Angelica, all that shit.
Yeah.
So they have this big event, and they said to me, come host it. I'm like, I'm bringing Ray. Ray's a film buff. We're going to love it. We did banter. And what were your impressions of the people?
Very, for the first hour, enthusiastic. Like, more enthusiastic. Like, that's not the restrained film appreciation that you might find at other, you know, in the city, for instance.
Yeah.
It's still a raucous kind of like, Shape of Water, Shape of... Like, they would riot about Shape of Water on multiple occasions. Like, they just start going, they're banging on the floor.
Right.
And making, like, it was like a gladiator almost.
And these people, a lot of them are elderly.
Yeah, but they
they're, like, infirmed.
They're people who really take on the mind. Like, I heard multiple people say, I'm a film buff. Like that lady, we were sat next to a lovely woman,
right?
Who apparently, can we talk about that?
Yeah,
she was ostracized to sit with us because I think on a previous occasion she might have gotten a little too drunk.
Supposedly she comes every year, gets hammered, annoys people, and they don't know where to put her. So they said this year we're going to put her with you two fucking fat fucks.
I think we got on splendidly.
She kept asking us to move our plates. She's like, I need more room. And she wrote down all the winners on an envelope. It's like, what are you doing? What are you going to play them in the lotto?
Yeah, I mean this is. Because she goes to bingo or to, like, hang out at, you know, the library, and she's the one who tells everyone what movie to see. I'm the fucking...
Ray asked her once, he asked her during the thing, because the shorts came up, and she goes, I like that one. And Ray goes, where do you see that? And she goes, you got to go to the city. I'm a film buff.
Yeah.
You got to go to the city. And Ray's like, all right.
But, they're like they were going crazy over... What's the kid's name again? From Tell Me Your Name or whatever it's
Timothy
called?
Timothy Chalamet.
All right. Now... It's an objectively bad performance. It's not
good. I have not seen the movie in
I watched the first half hour.
In
the
clip full disclosure.
The clip they showed, like, for his, like, you know, nomination was one of the earlier scenes that I did see while I was watching. Meandering, uncompelling.
Here's the thing, man. If you're young in this country and you can do anything, you are looked at as, like, a fucking hero. If you are a young person who doesn't blow everyone's head off in math class... You are looked at like a fucking... Here's another thing. I saw the Florida Project. That little girl was good, but not... like, she would... Like, everyone's like, it was the best thing I've ever seen. That girl's performance was the best thing I've ever seen.
Right.
It's fucking an obsession with youth.
Yeah. I mean, it's really... I don't think they want to fuck them. We're not going to go down that route again.
No.
But there is this thing of, like, there's something in that whole, like, you know, it's people afraid of their own shitty fat mortality.
And they go, look at this young person, and I wish I was them, and their energy, I want to suck their energy. Their energy, not anything else. I want to suck their energy out of them because they're young.
And it's almost like you want to see someone who's preternaturally gifted to justify why you never worked hard at anything.
Right. Like, absolutely.
I never had a shot.
I never had a shot. Look at this. This is a goddamn phenom.
Right.
What was I going to do?
Exactly.
I'm a dental hygienist for a good reason. You know? So they all love Shalaman. They love The Shape of Water.
The Shape. I mean, like, I saw that movie. I was baffled by what the movie even was.
Yeah.
There's some nice production design. There's a few funny scenes.
Yeah.
But, and like, you know, the supporting actor guy, Richard Jenny, whatever. Not Jenny, yeah. I like him in general.
Yeah.
But it's just the idea that, like.
Isn't Richard Jenny the guy who killed himself?
He
the
is.
Comic from Jaws?
But this guy has a similar name.
Oh, he did a great bit on Jaws 4, Richard Jenny, or Jaws 3 or something. Did not like that movie.
No, I think Guillermo del Toro is objectively good production design.
Guillermo,
I'm sorry. Guillermo,
whatever.
That's it. Good production design. He has interesting ideas.
Yeah.
But, like, off, I mean, the last movie he made, Crimson something,
I don't remember.
You can Google it. But, like, just incompetently bad movies he makes.
Yeah.
And they eat it up because it reminds them of, like, these. Because it has, like, the dance scene where the fish and her are, like, you know, it's like are dancing, like, fucking.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, they like that old Hollywood shit.
Yeah.
All they want is just fucking Fred Astaire.
They want that panache.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
They just want to remember a time when they could kick people off the bus.
Right. Florida Project, easily the best movie of the year, snubbed entirely except Willem Dafoe.
It's baffling.
It's baffling. They found the actress on Instagram. Now, by the way, they found this chick on Instagram. They taught her how to fucking act with an acting coach. She's phenomenal.
Right.
That, to me, is interesting. Chalamet has been programmed to be an actor since he's 2, went to fucking LaGuardia High School.
Yeah.
These rich kids in New York, and I know some of them, and I don't mean I know them intimately, I don't know them well, they're not...
You have somehow implanted yourself into a circle of relatively wealthy people, cultured people.
Only they would, but it would, they not, it will, they don't call me.
No.
But they, like, they would say hello to me in a restaurant they had to. If there was no way else to get out. They would use a service entrance to get out. But if they were, like, in my face, they would go, hey, man.
I get the impression they're never sure why you're there.
No.
But you're kind of charming.
No one, listen, here's the thing. One thing that Ray respects about me is, like, I don't care. I took a friend in L.A. We walked around Beverly. You're not allowed to walk around Beverly Hills. There are no sidewalks.
Right.
Beverly Hills are legitimately hills. And I told my friend, I said, we're going to walk into Beverly Hills. He goes, people don't really do that. Who cares? So it's just me sweating, walking up a hill next to a maid. She's the only other person who's walking. And we're passing these big, sprawling estates, and I'm sweating. And there's some people outside, and my friend goes, they're giving us real dirty looks. And I looked at him, and I said, it's going to get worse. Steal yourself. It's going to get worse.
What I find interesting about this is that for you...
By the way, for all you Maoists out there, right. I'm doing the fucking work.
Sure.
I'm doing the work. Who's fat and sweaty in their face?
Well, that's my point.
In Beverly Hills,
I was gonna say,
making them feel uncomfortable.
For you, your wealth, the mansions and symbols of wealth are your art.
Sure.
Like you go in a museum, and so the idea that you willingly, because you walking around that neighborhood
ruins
is the equivalent of like putting an ice cream cone in the Mona Lisa.
An Uber picked me up because when you get to a point where you can't walk anymore, I got to a gate. The guy goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm passing through." He goes, "Passing through is a private community." Uber picks you up. Asian guy goes, "You live here?" I go, "No." He's like, "You're not to be here. You're not allowed to be here." I said, "I go where I want because it's America."
What's interesting is you're not an idiot, of course, but like. How much longer would you have had to linger before they brought the heavy in? They don't fuck around. They're not going to let you like wander into a backyard.
No, I mean, if you go through a gate, then they bring in the heavy.
Okay.
But if you don't go through a gate, hey, buddy, I'm sorry. Have you heard of the fucking Constitution? Okay, I'm here. I'm eating M&Ms. I'm sweating like an animal. And I'm appreciating your beautiful Italianate Renaissance mansion that you purchased in 2014 for $28 million. So say City Records, which I have on my phone. So I'm telling my friend this, who's getting increasingly nervous as we disappear up these hills. But I mean, some of these, my point about these little rich actor fucks, they are groomed, and I mean for acting.
Yeah.
Don't start this now. But my point is, they are groomed from when they are young to be actors. They are rich fucks. They're good looking. Their parents feed them oat milk and send them to an acting coach. And by fucking golly, some of them end up successful. Well, I'm supposed to be impressed by that? No, I'm impressed by this whore in Florida Project, and I don't say that.
Wait, is she a whore?
Well, I don't mean that, but they discovered her on Instagram because she was selling
vapes.
That doesn't
make you a prostitute.
I know. I don't mean whore. Right. I mean she was
you
selling.
You mean a woman.
She was selling vapes, and my point is they find her on Instagram. They teach her how to be an actress. She should have just been given a fucking Oscar. Fuck this Chalamet.
Right.
Timothy Chalamet. This chick who's fucking selling vapes and weed and fucking raving out in a fucking God only knows. And they teach her how to be an actress. She should have went to the Academy. I mean.
I do want to point out, though, it's not all about class. Like Miles Teller a couple years ago, great performance.
Here's what Miles Teller did.
Yeah.
I know Miles Teller got in an accident. A car accident. Some guy stopped a car. Miles Teller went out the window. Mm. Miles Teller then got an acting job because he had that scarry face
right.
to play, and he sued that fucking kid. Still, that Miles Teller made millions, still sued that fucking kid and ruined his fucking life. Because so that there's Miles Teller.
Was the kid drunk?
I don't think so. I think the kid was just, you know, got in a thing. You get in an accident with somebody.
They're ruthless people. They really are.
These are fucking ruthless people. So I didn't know what you were going to say about Miles Teller, but I hope to God you weren't going to go on some fucking thing about how he's some deserving fucking...
Why?
He's a good actor.
I just want to point
he's
out...
He's fine.
I just want to make it clear how bad I thought the other guy was.
Sure. But the thing is with Teller...
Yeah.
Is... And I tried to jerk off to the Call Me By Your Name. I can't even do it because Chalamet looks like a mouse. He has a mousy look. It's unattractive.
Army Hammer doesn't do it for you?
No. I mean, he's too perfect. It looks like you're jerking off to a simulation, yeah. You know? Him and this fucking mouse. I ended up jerking off to this pasta scene when they bring the food, the pasta to the table. A nice summer pasta is nice. A chilled pasta.
What is it? What makes a summer pasta?
I like a chilled pasta.
Okay.
With a little lemon, some tomatoes. You know what
capers?
I'm talking about, Shannon. Little capers. Did you see any of these movies?
Nope.
Shannon, bring up the girl from Florida Project. You could have been this girl.
Which I have the cast up. I'm not sure which girl.
The first one. Bring it up here. Because, Ray, you're going to be impressed by this one. Bria Vinite. Bria.
Oh, pretty woman.
Now, she go to her Instagram, Chronic Flowers. This is how the director discovered her.
Like Chronic, like Weed,
and Brooklyn Prince was great, too, who played Mooney. She was good. She was very good. This is Bria Vinite. She's not even at the Academy Awards, I think, which is fucking tragic. She was so fucking good in this picture for somebody that had never acted before. She was so fucking good. They found her on Instagram. Why is she not fucking...
I don't think they want someone to... They want Gwyneth Paltrow to slum herself up. They don't want to get real
people. They're
all
in the identity politics right now. They don't like class.
So
Florida Project was all about poor people. It was all about class.
Right.
Okay?
But they don't like the idea of, like, we're going to get real people and bring them to the... No, you get fucking Miley Cyrus or whoever was the person. And you
what flavor of vape is that?
It's fried Oreo.
Fried Oreo?
Why fried? Where does the fry come across in the vape?
You can taste it. It tastes like a fried Oreo.
It tastes like just like burnt...
You never had a fried Oreo?
I've had one once. I didn't like it.
Did you have one?
What's that festival they have by Muchmores? That Sandra, whatever.
San Gennaro?
It's not San Gennaro. It's like Spanish more. It's more
I don't
Mexican,
know.
I think. But it's one of those things. It was like they had like, you know, one, they had the potato sack ride and you can get a fried Oreo and or do an open mic. And I did the fried Oreo.
My favorite part of the thing was when we went up to get ice cream and I tried to give you the mocha chip and you go, I don't want that. I want vanilla fudge. It was like a 3-year-old. You're like, I want vanilla fudge.
This was your...
I want vanilla fudge.
No, that's not what happened.
I want vanilla fudge.
You were going for your second serving of ice cream.
I want vanilla fudge. I don't want it.
I ordered my vanilla fudge, and then you try to hand me your melted ice.
I want vanilla fudge. It was just funny the way you looked at fucking coffee ice cream. I don't want that. I don't want it. Those movie theater kids, you know they bring us in at a bomb. They bring us in at a bomb.
Yeah.
They listen to the show. And they bring us in there because they think we're going to eat our face because they think we're going to go up there and start talking about who took Johnny and they want to watch that shit. But we fucking handled it so fucking well
yeah.
that we fucking got an email from this bitch going, hey, you guys were great. Thank you for going. One complaint.
Yeah.
One complaint from a lady who said, you could have got a classier MC. Well, she ain't wrong.
Is that because I kept bringing up the fish dick?
I think it was literally because of the visceral reaction to us.
Yeah.
I don't think she heard anything.
Yeah.
This woman was elderly.
We get up there, it's like, yeah. Oh!
I don't think she heard us talking.
Right.
I think it was the fact that we got in there in ill-fitting hoodies
right.
and grabbed mics. I don't think she needed to hear anything.
Well, it starts out like...
This is, people are dressed up. There's a step and repeat. They're taking photos.
The idea
we're breaking the illusion.
It went very well. But the first commercial break was a little rocky because
yes.
we got up there to...
Yes.
And the idea is that we talked throughout the commercial break to
yes.
kind of bridge between sections.
There was a lovely chubby woman who was running it who had a chubby son who sounded like this.
Oh.
He got up and he said, hello, the raffle tickets are for sale. He's the bad Santa kid.
Yeah, he made some jokes at one point.
He was doing well.
Yeah.
He's like, live your healthiest life, which I haven't done in a while.
Yeah.
You got to laugh. And it's like, hey,
him in the game for a while.
Leave some fat jokes for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't fucking hone in on our fucking
business. And they loved it. Meanwhile, we did the whole bit about being in
Call
the,
me
in the
by
game,
your name.
And they didn't get it.
They didn't go for it. They laughed a little, but...
Yeah. But what was it? Oh, we get up there and...
First commercial break.
Yeah. And look, we've been there for a while. It's a countdown. We're going to start at 8 p.m. The pre-show ends. We get up there. And I think we say two sentences, and then you saw the word Oscar and got
yeah.
confused,
yeah.
and we got off stage,
right.
and everyone's just standing there. I'm like, we should go back on. Nah, fuck it. Don't ever go back. You never go back.
Which I agree. I still think I was right, but the lady, Chubbo, comes
yeah.
running over and goes, wait a minute, you're not going to talk for the whole commercial? I'm like, no, I saw the word Oscar, and they don't. I mean, listen, a few times we were talking, and the Oscar came back on. They were like, boo. They started booing us.
Right.
They were like, get off. Like, ooh. Like,
yeah.
They're straight up to booing.
Right.
That's how quick you lose those old farts. Listen to this message I get. I get a rich kid sends me a message. Talking about the rich again. A rich kid sends me a message on Facebook Messenger. Okay. And I'm by the way, I'm sick of these, and I'm starting to just respond to them in any way that I see fit. Which is this is the message I got. Okay. You're gonna really appreciate this.
One of these acting kids?
A guy that I went to school with in Holy Trinity High School.
Oh, okay.
Who I haven't spoken to in a while. Kid comes from like Hewlett Bay Park.
Mm.
Big money.
Okay.
I think that's where he's from. Nice house. Got big money.
Right.
Hey Tim, congrats on the Netflix series. That's so sweet. It ain't a series,
yeah.
by the way. Okay. So I have this good friend, blank, from blank. He's got a deep in-ground pool. He was doing the whole finance thing and decided comedy is what he really wanted to pursue.
Smart move.
And now, by the way, this is the best line in the thing because it's literally this kid describes something accurately and he doesn't even know he's doing it. He goes, he's now diving straight down into comedy. Perfect. Perfect. He doesn't know. Not jumping in, diving straight down. And maybe he's playing off my Gethard clip where I say, like, you got to dive out, not in, or whatever. He goes, he's been pursuing comedy and acting in New York, including improv for the last 2 years, classes, blah, blah. He loves your work. He asked if I knew you because you went to Trinity. I told him I'd reach out. He'd love to pick your brain about how to navigate transitioning from open mics exclusively to featured spots on shows. He doesn't think it'll happen overnight. He just wants to get a sense of the path. He also wants to write a pilot and produce a web series. So if you have any experience or perspective on that. So
do what I did. Drive Tim around to the fucking Wendy's and have him threaten people for not getting his guacamole.
He did. And then we both landed in the same place.
Yeah.
Gas Digital. A network named after farting. I'm kidding. It's Gomez and Sutton, folks. That's why it's named that way. So this is what I want to respond. Hey, thanks so much for reaching out. I'm really glad your friend is following his passion. Listen, this is a little awkward. I want to know if I could hold on to a few dollars for a little bit. I have a few projects in development, and I recently... And I think they're going to go, and I think they'll be really profitable, but right now, I'm kind of struggling. It looks like I'm doing really well, but to be honest with you, taxes and commissions eat up a lot of my money. Is there any way I can hold like $5,000 for a while? Please, is there any way that you could give this to me or potentially you and your friend? Any way that I can hold on to some money? Again, you guys know I'm good for it. I'll pay you back ASAP as soon as I start to see some checks. Thanks so much for investing in me.
And the sad thing about comedy. Seeing you, who's doing, you're having a great couple of years. Year. Things are going. Things are going well.
You were around last year.
From a guy in his perspective, you can't think. You would kill to be in your position.
Sure.
That wouldn't deter him. Seeing you asking for $5,000 would not deter him from comedy.
He might give it to me. Yeah. He might give me the money. Here's the thing with these rich kids, which is interesting. None of them invest in their shit. None of them make their own projects.
Right.
He wants to make a web series. Make it. He's rich. I want to write a pilot. Shoot it. You're rich.
Yeah.
You have a... This kid works at Blackstone, Steve Schwartzman's company.
Wow.
They get 10,000 emails per like one position.
Right.
The kid is like one of those guys went to prep school, was like, it's like, what are you, what straight, white, good looking guy. Let me tell you something, buddy. I know what he thinks. That's why he's sending these. This is the type of emails they send in finance. Like, what's the track? What's the path?
Right.
What can I do? This doesn't work. This ain't that.
Well, isn't it fine? I mean, look, there's two like waves of finance, I guess.
Yeah.
There's the blue blood way, you know, and then the network. But isn't like the other part of finance just like brutality?
No, like, yeah, sure. It's all brutality.
But I mean, like, as far as like kind of screwing people over to get to the top within the organization.
But
too.
The problem is, my problem is this. A guy like him is probably a very smart kid and he's probably a very hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But he probably understands kind of traditional models of work, success,
right,
things like that. This will throw you for a fucking loop. This business. Coming into this business with that mentality. Listen, you can be very successful.
Right.
But when you come into this business, you start to learn very quickly that like up is down. You're in a fun house. Black is white. White is black. Like you'll be on a showcase. Somebody will bomb. They'll get the thing. You'll be like, wait a minute. What's going on?
Well, here's the other weird thing. There's a place, an abundance of place for rich, well-educated guys in comedy.
Yeah.
Like, they run a lot of the writing rooms.
Sure.
What the fuck are you doing in open mics?
Like, because here's the other problem. You know, there's a wide fucking variety of people that have that epiphany.
Yeah.
I had it. There's a lot of people that have it. They're in an office and go, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do something else. Probably 1% of them should be having that epiphany.
Right.
The other 99%, maybe their epiphany is like, I don't like what I'm doing and I want to enrich my life. Like, I want to do improv. I want to be creative. But to make a career out of it, especially to make a life and a lifestyle that guy wants to be accustomed to out of this, at his, you know, you better be very fucking good and you better work very hard.
Into woodworking, that's creative.
Yeah, well, come on.
That's much more rewarding.
They want to be famous, Ray. Nobody gets
that's
famous
the
woodworking.
They want to be creative. They want to be
famous.
There's
one Bob Vila.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the thing. They don't want to be
this
creative.
This old house was a damn good show.
No, look, I love the Yankee Workshop also.
Yes.
But, right, you know, Norma's great. Norma's a great
What about this old house?
Well, that was the original, and then he left, Norm took over, and he had his side project, the Yankee Workshop.
Of course.
Where he would take you into the actual
They wrote a
show.
Book about that, The War for Wood. It was like The War for Late Night. They talked about the different, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I gotta read that. No, but like, I'd respect it more if it really was like, look, you're moving numbers around. You realize how fucked up it is. Finance is a dirty
So I respect
it. Like, oh, this is kind of meaningless. I should do something with my life.
Right.
But then, like, yeah, what you immediately go to, what's the quickest, not is really not,
right,
but the easiest route to fame.
Well, you know what it is? He's taking the UCB classes. He's taking a stand-up comedy class. So a guy like him understands education. He understands, like, if I work hard and I get the degree, I get the job, and then I work hard, and then I get the promotion. It's, again, it's a very linear, it's very much, listen, but then you come into this business, and it's like, oh, it's not like that.
Do guys who are like playing the guitar for a year hit up Bobby Lopez trying to pick his brain?
I don't know. I don't think you can hit him. I can't hit him up. I'm somehow kind of family with him. I can't. I couldn't get in touch with him. I have to reach out to my agent from WME to reach out to his agent to WME, and I guarantee his agent does not speak to my agent. So
how does he get invited to, for instance, the funeral?
That my aunts, they talk.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, they talk a little bit.
Mind them. Use them as a back channel.
But my whole thing is like, listen, kid, yeah, you want to get involved? Just you're fucking, you know, this is the Wild West. Nothing makes any sense.
Right.
And you might be a part of something that you feel is so insignificant, and that might be the thing that like breaks you and gets you the opportunities. I did a video with Chris Gethard that's probably done for more for my career than all of my stand-up,
right,
including these two specials.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't know the thing that you're going to do that's going to be the thing. But you can't respond like that. So I just responded and said, let me hold on. to a few thousand dollars. That is my response. Anybody who asks me for advice now, I'm responding by asking to borrow money. That's it. That's literally what I'm going to ask to do.
I guess it's an equitable trade. I mean, look.
Yeah.
It's.
Can I get a couple of bucks here, please?
It's probably the worst master class, but it's kind of like a master class.
Here's a master class. Listen, can you please send me some money, and I'll tell you what it's all about.
Look, when I first met you, and I was driving you, and whatever, we were home and shit, I learned a lot. I mean, you told me to kill myself 5 times a day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you did have a good angle on how to get, you know, more shows of the creek, for instance.
Yeah. You know? I mean, nobody wants to hear it. The real answer is just you got to kind of spend 7 years, 5 years minimum, for most people. Not everybody. But right. I'm talking to most people. We're not going to talk about the outliers.
Sure.
The majority of people. In soul-crushing poverty, and this kid's never going to be poor probably because he comes from money.
Right.
But if not soul-crushing poverty, you have to then live for 5 years with no tangible accomplishments that you can really go out to the world with and say, look at me, I did it.
Right.
Because the things you're doing, nobody gives a fuck about. Oh, you got a new 5 minutes? You killed at the bar in Gowanus?
Right.
Shut the fuck up. Try talking about that at Thanksgiving. I'm on night train. What? You took a train? Nobody gives a shit about any of this. Finally, when you reach the level of like a Netflix or Comedy Central or Kumia show, because my friends are racist, then you get to a point. They're like, are you Zanzo Kumia Network? You're really sticking. You know, the Kumia's, he tells the fucking truth. And if Opie and, you know. And but at the end of the day, if fucking, you got a fucking, he's fit. One of my friends goes, Anthony, he's a fearless. And I'm like, yeah, great.
Didn't he like cower from like a transsexual woman? And like,
I don't know what happened. I don't want to get into
it. He got beat up by a woman. That's why he went in a racist tirade.
No. My point is this.
He's fearless.
My point is this. Like, my friends will be like, you got to be fit. I'm like, I'm not a race. Like, I don't have things to say that are that beyond the pale. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. But they like, my friends like that offensive humor for the sake of being offensive. Like, just go on. Owen Benjamin, who's having a breakdown right now on social media.
It's so, because there's so much, look, for instance, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It can be vile, for instance. I still enjoy it. But like, what these people love is just like, literally like saying the N-word or like doing a Chinese impression.
Yeah,
like,
that's what they want.
It's like the fucking Dark Ages.
Some of them that are going to see my special when it comes out and go, you really sold out.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything good.
Where's the Chinaman bit?
Why are you shitting on people from Long Island? You know? But that's the whole thing is like that. So you got to spend those 5 years of like not giving a shit. And there's a lot of things. So Bobby Lopez, for example, here's the thing with Bobby Lopez. That guy's a fucking, he's a no joke guy.
Right.
Because that guy was one of those guys who just fucking did it from when he was a kid.
Right.
I'm going to write musicals. I'm going to write shit. I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he got to a point. Now, listen, people lose faith. And even if you go to a school like Yale, okay, people will be like, yeah, all right, you're gonna write a musical. Okay, whatever.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you start doing it and you keep doing it. And that's the thing, though. Do you have that inside of you to keep pushing forward, whatever? And listen, here's the other thing. Bobby was a fucking genius. I don't know if this kid's a genius.
Right.
I'm no genius, but I'm able to make people laugh. I don't know if this kid even has that.
No, we don't even know if he's like
marginally
funny.
I'm going
to
look him up on YouTube right now, see if he's got anything on YouTube.
The amount of people I've met in the past 5 years, however many years.
Right.
Where it's like, you couldn't have even been like the third funniest guy in your office.
Right.
Like, people you meet at open mics, like they're often like, they have no sense of humor whatsoever. Like, and you meet people, I had jobs, like blue-collar jobs, warehouses, and the morgue. I met hilarious people. So did you, I'm sure, the freaking mortgage stuff. These people are goddamn hilarious. There's a divide with comedy, with the whole business or whatever. Like, it's become like a fucking pageant to do. It's become this thing, like, to get into just for this, like, to have an identity.
Yeah, this guy's in an improv troupe here. I'm looking at him. He's doing an improv troupe. Yeah, you know, whatever, man. Decent looking dude. You know, figure it out. Fucking figure it out. Figure it out. But that's what I'm going to do now. Anytime somebody asks me for advice, I'm coming for the money.
Do you respond?
No, not yet. You know? I think he knows I'm kidding. That's the other problem. These guys know I'm joking.
Yeah.
They know I'm kidding.
Need to find some fresh marks.
That's what I mean. I've established myself too much as a clown now. You know? That should be my other response. Right. I go, listen, how are you going to get over on people when they think you're a fucking joke? Think you're a clown?
She's carrying a knife around.
The great Jane Mayer, who's refused to be on this program, we emailed her.
Did she respond?
No, she did not respond. Okay. I got her phone number. I called her. I got her. I did not leave a message, but I called her. I got a message machine, and she never called back.
I thought you did leave a message.
I did not leave a message.
Let's just remind the fans that you once drunkenly stole her bread at the bar.
I took bread on a table that I felt was a communal bread. It was a bread for her and the person she was having lunch with.
I've never heard of communal bread.
You know what? Maybe read the fucking Bible and about the life of Christ, who gave the bread and the fishes to all of the people that were eating at the Atlantic Bar and Grill. My point is that she's not coming on the show, which I'm not thrilled about. Right. That being said, she is a great investigative reporter. We're not going to take that away from her.
No.
And she wrote an article that's very long. That's all of my, some of my friends from Long Island were like, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to read all of this? I like those long articles. I like them.
Yeah.
You know? She wrote an article about the famous Steele dossier. This is the dossier that was paid for by the DNC. It was Fusion GPS, I think, or Orbitz, whatever right. It's called. It was this company of all these ex-spooks. So what spooks
Orbitz,
do,
yeah, yeah.
What spies do, I guess, when they retire, they still have all these connections. So they set up these private intelligence gathering firms that can help in whatever situation, including
which
getting...
Which seems fuzzy.
Yeah, but it seems, of course. What are they going to...
Yeah.
Listen, you want them in open mics? You know?
No.
So those guys and girls and gals set up these intelligence gathering operations, and a lot of them are used for oppo research, opposition research on political candidates, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some corporate espionage shit, whatever goes on. They have all kinds of clients looking into all kinds of things. One of those clients was the DNC. They wanted opposition research on Donald Trump. They went to Steele. Steele was an ex-MI6 spy. He had worked for – he ran the Russia desk. He had lived in Russia, worked for Russia. He knew the Soviet Union inside and out. Steele was the guy that compiled this dossier on Donald Trump. Steele, I think, initially went out looking for dirt on Trump, thinking it was maybe going to be business and things like that, illicit streams of money and capital, whatever. Trump's a realtor and Trump's a big developer in New York. A lot of his properties are owned by gangsters. Maybe there was something there. Steele kind of uncovers that there's a sophisticated operation from the Kremlin to upset our election in favor of Trump. They want Trump to win. And Steele then discovers a few of these things. He
also pissed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Right.
No, it matters because it did kind of sensationalize what shouldn't have been sensationalized.
Yeah.
This is, if you remember, when Trump supposedly had these two prostitutes do a golden shower on a bed that Obama stayed on.
Yeah, weird move.
Yeah. He really had a hard on for Obama. Side note here, but like
I think when you're such a narcissist and you see a guy like Obama, who's being universally loved,
right.
That's got to get you.
I wonder if it was after the alleged piss incident.
Yeah.
Was after when he made him look stupid at the correspondence dinner.
Might be now the piss incident is. Steele comes across these people that say that Trump stayed in this hotel in Moscow and he had hookers piss on him or do a golden shower show
on the bed, not on him, just to desecrate the memory of Obama.
Is that really what it was?
That's the impression I got.
God. So this is on the dossier, including that Trump. So the Russia has this operation. Now you have in the article too, which is not specific to the dossier, because now if you remember. Devin Nunes, who's a congressman, I think, who's on the House Select Intelligence Committee.
He's the Republican who had the memo,
He's a Republican. So he comes out with the memo and says, listen, the Steele dossier is bullshit. It was paid for by the DNC.
Which is true. Yeah.
And he said, Steele's a political hack.
Right.
And he basically hates Trump. And the FBI hates Trump. Everybody hates Trump. And Steele's going around kicking up dirt. There's nothing there. It's all sensationalized garbage. Steele knows it. The DNC knows it. It's presented to this FISA court to get a warrant for Carter Page and all of this shit, all of Trump's associates, and it's bullshit, and it's absolutely bullshit. So then the Democrats countered it. It's not true.
Right.
There is something there. The U.S. intelligence community said that, John Brennan has said, he has claimed that
You have one of the heads of British intelligence coming over and showing him
right.
back channel communications between Trump advisors and Moscow, making promises to them.
They verified many of the details in the report.
Yeah.
Independently verified.
From other sources.
Look, it's intelligence. And,
right.
And she makes this point. And it's important to remember, intelligence is never like 100%.
No.
You're at best, you're getting 75%.
And that means you're the best.
Yeah.
If you're getting 70-80% accuracy, you're the
right.
best in
right.
the game.
Which is, to say, so if he got a few details wrong.
Right.
He got the wrong guy that paid off Trump, I think.
Right.
It was a different
Whatever.
Guy who worked for the Kremlin.
And the other
point,
thing is,
it's a legit thing. The interesting thing, though, is, he was, it made clear in the article, he did have a kind of hard-on against Trump for legitimate reasons.
He did not like Trump.
I mean, I think a lot of it was based on what he saw.
It was based on his experience. The MI6 from the article and from other things that I've read is supposedly very good at face-to-face human intelligence.
Right.
The U.S. is amazing with satellites, imagery, things like that.
Yeah.
We're also good with face-to-face, but MI6 is kind of known for that.
Yeah.
This guy had built a network of people from his years working in the Soviet Union. He did not have a positive opinion of Donald Trump
right.
for whatever reason.
Let it be known.
He let it be known. So obviously this is all grist for the mill of people that are saying that this entire Russia collusion theory was invented by quote-unquote deep state, whether it's CIA or any of these guys that really hate Trump,
One of the clear things that they show in the article, which Jane shows in the article, is that, the deep state's doing this. When they were presented with the dossier, they did not. They sat in their hands. They did nothing with it.
Supposedly, if and that's true, supposedly they're presented with this information that Russia's trying to impact the election in favor of Trump.
Right.
Obama, John Kerry, don't do anything because there's something called the Grant Amendment or the Grant Act where you can't introduce information that would swing at a presidential election. You cannot influence a presidential election as a sitting president.
Right.
Or a member of the cabinet.
I didn't realize it was a law. But
it was amendment, a law. It's something in there.
Yeah.
And they were wary of that. Supposedly, they didn't do enough. In fact, the FBI comes out because we're actually investigating Hillary.
Right.
So it's kind of absurd.
Yeah. The FBI doesn't want to affect, any kind of, sway anything.
Right.
But then a week before the election, Comey comes out, I didn't want to be responsible for whatever, and then 4 days later exonerates her. You couldn't have just done that without announcing it?
So here's where we're left off with this. When you read the article, this whole idea that some members of the Trump campaign were colluding with Russia, and in the beginning, we've gone both ways on this show. We had Russ Baker in here talking about this before anyone else did, talking about the connections that Trump had with the Kremlin. Not before anyone else. We were unearthing things that were not in the media.
We were on Sater before a lot of people.
We were on Sater before pretty much anyone else in the media. A few articles in the Washington Post, maybe. That being said, it felt, even then, I said, this seems to be wishful thinking, some level of paranoia, a coping mechanism. Now it kind of feels like it's more and more feasible that there was some negotiations back channel between Trump's people and Russia. And then you have to believe that, and listen, it's, as you said, it's plausible that they didn't let Trump know.
Right.
That Trump was out of it.
Well, I'm of the opinion personally that, with a reasonable certainty, there's definitely there is a huge amount of smoke and fire here. That being said, I do think it's very possible that Trump, for a number of reasons, wasn't knowledgeable, didn't know about this stuff. That being said, it's only because he's so inherently dirty, in my opinion.
He's inept.
That, he's trying to scam other people. It's a little,
so here's the question.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Let's say he didn't know.
Yeah.
And you have his team colluding with a foreign power.
Right.
To win an election, to release, supposedly, potentially release emails to hurt Hillary Clinton that they've hacked the DNC. If this is all true.
Right.
What? Where does that leave us? If we have a president who his team colluded without his knowledge with a foreign government.
Happened at Watergate. You ended up having those tapes.
Yeah.
But the first wave, they get rid of Haldeman and Ehrlichman.
Right.
And that's where it would end.
Yeah.
And in this case, if they don't have a smoking gun, if no one flips, you might have to settle for Jared Kushner going to jail or Donald Trump Jr. maybe.
And I don't think they've even indicted. They haven't even served.
He probably won't go to jail. But you know what I'm saying? Them being
they've got Mueller. Mueller, whoever.
Mueller, I think.
Mueller has Flynn.
Right.
Papadopoulos and someone else. Paige?
Corey Paige. I forget Paige.
Manafort.
Flipped. Manafort did not flip.
He did not flip.
No.
You got to respect him.
Yeah.
He'll kill him. Those oligarchs will kill that motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
They'll kill him. He doesn't give a shit about
George
Trump.
George something flipped, I think.
Papadopoulos.
That was recently, right?
Yeah.
When he flipped, Manafort came out and goes, I don't know why he doesn't have the integrity to stand up to this.
Yeah.
I can't explain it, but I'm going to fight this. You know, because if he fucking even gets a whiff.
They'll get him.
They'll fucking put some palladium right in his
fucking
eyes.
Man, there was this guy, Boris Berezovsky. He was a fucking... I don't know if he was the one that was killed. There was a show called Ladies of London on Bravo. And the show had a guy in it who was a mover and a shaker. Mm-hmm. Scott Young was his name. Google Scott Young, Ladies of London, Shannon. Scott Young was a very rich man. He was dating this chick, Noelle Reno, I think. And bring it up here on the screen. Scott Young was Scott Young dead. Ladies of London star boyfriend falls to death at 55. Go down here,
that
okay?
Happens.
London tycoon Scott Young has died at the age of 55. Young reportedly plunged to his death from the luxury apartment he and girlfriend Noelle Reno shared together in Marylebone on Monday. You tell the Guardian that Young landed on railings outside the couple's residence after da 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 da. It was not being treated as suspicious. However.
Did they rule it a suicide?
However, Scott Young, okay, was part of this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Go Google Scott Young Russians. Let's see how much there is on this. And I'll find more of it.
Let me clear. Did they?
Yeah, right. Okay. Was tycoon Scott Young victim of elaborate Russian gangsters who dissident claim mafia helped Scott Young hide $400 million from his divorced wife? And then refused to give it back. So here's the deal. He stashed a lot of money in a divorce, okay? I think the Russians helped him. This is a working theory.
Sure.
Because in London, outside of the best.
Yeah.
So outside of the Kremlin, London is the spot for the fucking Russian mob, okay?
Right.
That is the fucking spot. I just punched the mic. Now, Young said, listen, you got to help me stash this money. And then I think he said, hey, guys, that was fun. Had fun. We enjoyed it. See you around. And they said, wait a minute. And I don't think he gave the money back. The guy ended up getting out. He had a hot chick. Now, yes, could he have been depressed? Could he have killed himself? Sure. Hot chick, penthouse apartment, ends up being impaled on the fucking gate outside of the fucking...
Wait, maybe I have it backwards. Was Scott helping them hide the money?
They were helping him hide it
from
his ex-wife.
But they didn't give it back.
They were helping him hide it.
Right.
And then, I'm sorry. I kind of, Scott Young's not telling them, like, hey, good, thanks. They're telling him, this was fun. You're not getting your $400 million back.
Right, okay.
We took your money. Now you're going to die. So either he's killed himself because he's upset.
Right.
Or somebody threw him out of the fucking window. My point here.
The idea.
Yeah.
Of being owed money. By the mob or any mob,
you just give half to your fucking wife.
But no, but it's like, oh yeah, the mob owes me $400 million, but they're gonna pay that. They're not
the Russian mob,
they're gonna pay that back.
So my point is that Manafort, and there's a lot more in this guy Young thing, and it's actually very interesting. There's a whole secret group of people. Google Boris Berezovsky. Boris Berezovsky is good friends with Neil Bush.
Mm.
Boris was an expat from Russia. Kicked out. One of those oligarchs was looting the country.
Right.
He ends up in fucking London. I'm trying to do a whole Russia episode with Anna Artunian, who's a writer over there. And I email her. The problem is 7 p.m. here is 3 a.m. in Moscow. So it's kind of, we got to do.
We'll stay up late.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get her on. So Boris Berezovsky, he was a Russian oligarch, member of the Russian Academy of Sciences. He was politically opposed to the president of Vladimir Putin. Was not, he was remained
the best strategy.
Yeah. He was a vocal critic of Putin. He moved to London, and he was part of this clique of ex-oligarchs who lived in London and would fucking hang out. And I think Young ended up kind of getting in with them a little. And I'm talking on my ass here. So if you're an expert in this and you tell me, no, it wasn't Berezovsky, it was just something, fine. I'm just saying the types of people that you don't want to fuck around with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Big money players. That guy... friends at Neil Bush again. You know, so it's very that whole.
And I love the idea because look, they're not all geniuses,
right?
But they're hard motherfuckers. They're
genius
motherfuckers. And I can't think of a more incompetent group of people in foreign policy than these buffoons that Trump has scrolling, like, roaming across Russia, making shit deals, getting fucking. You know, like the idea you're sending fucking, you know.
Yeah, you're not sending James Baker. You're sending Manafort. You know what I mean?
And Donald Trump Jr.
And Don fucking, Jr., that goon.
And Carter Page.
Right.
So, fucking buffoons.
So at the end of the day, you know, it's very interesting. Manafort's one of those dudes who is involved with some very dirty people.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But yeah, there's probably a reason he's not flipping. And it's probably not that he's his integrity.
Right.
You know, spare me that shit.
I mean, here's the thing. Is Mueller, whatever, is he going to have to fucking, is he going to have to give him, like, Witsec or
Mala.
Something?
He's a Mala.
Like, is it come down to that? Like, we're going to protect you from the Russians. Is that?
Yeah, but you know what? Do you believe that?
No.
I don't believe that.
Well, I think they keep him alive. It would look bad if you, like, no one wants a witness
to
die.
You wait 5 years. They don't give a shit how it looks. It's out of the news, you know? Page A90. Oh, Manafort was pointing. These fuckers can do you. They don't even know that you got done.
I think, well, maybe. I mean, look.
Sometimes they're sending a message. When they gave Levchenko the polonium,
right.
They're sending a message.
No, they're sending a message. I'm saying the FBI or whatever.
Yeah, Manafort's kids getting car accident. You listen, these fuckers.
I'm sure.
The FBI's going to keep you safe. They'll fucking kill you. I mean.
There is. You have to admit there is an interest in keeping them safe just for a future, you know, a moral hazard.
Perhaps. I don't know, Ray. How much is how much is his life worth? FBI agents don't make a ton of money, you know?
No, sure.
I just know this. I stand with Mother Russia. I stand with Mother Russia.
Well, these sanctions are pretty bad from what I hear. Look,
they are brutal to gays. Stop being brutal to gays, Russia, because I'm trying to be a Stalinist, and it's hard for me when you fucking keep fucking around with gays.
It's a very complicated thing, because... And we were not good actors in any
of
this.
I'm trying to open this box that some guy sent us, and it's fucking very hard.
It's gonna blow up as soon as you open it.
And it's so heavy, and it's definitely a bomb.
Yeah. But, like, you know, after the Cold War ended, 90, 91, we basically let that shit go to hell. We encouraged this whole Yeltsin just collapse, economic collapse to happen in Russia, and we allowed a power vacuum to occur where these oligarchs... Or, I mean, just ex-generals are selling nuclear, like, they're draining the fuel out of warheads and selling it on the black market. And that's how a lot of these guys got rich, shit like that. Selling surplus tanks, selling surplus cruise missiles, whatever the fuck. And basically, Putin is a bad dude, but before he came in, like, literally the country was in a level of chaos that, like, the modern world, you know, what we got here? Jesus, this is a lovely bunch of treats.
This is Sean Zervine. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Per cup. Oh, look at this. Mugs.
Ooh, a mug.
This is very nice, Sean.
I needed a mug. Thank you, Sean.
And then these are espresso beans. What is this, right? The chocolate-covered espresso beans?
Yeah, chocolate. I mean, it's espresso. Okay. You can brew that in the coffee.
And we each get a gift card.
This is lovely, Sean. Thank you.
This is 25 and 25, Amazon. Thank you very much. And let's see. He sent the letter. And by the way, everybody, this is the fucking standard here.
Sean, you know, is number one fan.
He's the number one fan. He's a standard. You fucking hear that, Carl George?
Yeah.
He's wishing all is well with you and things in general are awesome. Thanks you for an awesome podcast. I feel strong about it today is when I first found it. Please get some finding closed gifts from the local coffee shops. He wants advice on two issues.
Sure.
Okay. I'm requesting your advice on two issues. If you desire, you can give one question to Ray. You'll get both of our...
You've earned both our wisdom.
While on a 5-year work contract, after 14 months in Chicagoland, I mean, I will say this. Let me say this before anything. We're not lawyers, you know? You might need, but okay.
I did do a year of paralegal studies.
I know Ray has claimed that he has an affinity for the law, but while on a 5-year work contract, after 14 months in a Chicagoland, the CFO wants to relocate back to the Minneapolis home office. I went from Minneapolis to Chicago and now back to Minneapolis. However, I will continue to have full U.S. and international travel. This means back to the office full-time, 8-to-5 desk job. It is important to note the last 14 months are all in a car, home office, slamming coffee, and listening to all the episodes of Tim Dillon's Going to Hell on repeat. You think I should get a new job or move back and continue the sales life? Poor, fat, angry, bad heart, etc. style. No, it's time for change, I would say. Time for change.
I'm confused. He's a traveling salesman?
He's a traveling salesman, and he goes, I think he's asking.
You can always get back into
it. Do I get a new job or move back and continue the sales life? Look, I don't know, man. Get a new job.
Yeah, you put the time. Look, I've had situations. I worked a graveyard shift at the bread warehouse. You do it for a few months, midnight to 8. You start losing your mind.
The title of the episode is I Worked a Graveyard Shift at a Bread Warehouse. Thank you.
Yeah, you start losing your mind. Like, you can only do that for so long. You did your time. You did the right thing. You manned up.
This is great. The second question is like, here's what I would say about the first question, Sean. I think
depends on your prospects too.
Depends on what your prospects are. But here's the thing: don't run yourself down. Don't run yourself ragged.
It ain't worth it.
Sales can be real rough, man.
I mean, does he have a wife and kids to take care of?
I don't know. But my point is this: don't run yourself ragged. Take care of your health, man. It's very important. Take care of your health. Second, so whatever that means, and I think that probably means
get a hooker,
investigating a new job. Go find Johnny Gosch. Number two.
Try a homosexual experience.
Yeah. Do you think a major portion of the U.S. housing bubble was caused by temporary high-paying jobs in computer programming due to preparation for Y2K?
No.
You know.
But really, I mean, he's on something. What it was that...
It's the bust.
When the tech bubble burst, there was an impending economic slowdown, recession, which Greenspan didn't want. Greenspan was a hack. You know, everyone's always a genius for 20
years. Here's what it is, Sean.
And they slashed interest rates to prevent that. And so that is what led to a capital influx.
Here's the thing. Yeah. After 19 hijackers, 15 of which are from our closest ally, attacked us randomly without any warning and were able to decapitate our entire northern NORAD and all of these, you know, North Atlantic, all these things that all of our defensive systems were completely vulnerable and penetrable. What happened was we then needed to kind of slash interest rates and get the party going.
I mean, reality is that if it was like, yeah, not to put you, it's an interesting idea.
No,
but the idea that, like, you know, if it was guys who got tech jobs, well, those would be guys who had good salaries who therefore could afford a house.
Some of those guys went crazy.
Oh, they went crazy. My point, though, is like they had to go to the bottom of the barrel to keep this bubble going. They had to go to people who had no chance to get a housing bubble.
I think is caused by what all bubbles are caused by. Certain ideas have an inertia behind them that is kind of, you can't lay it at the feet of any particular political ideology.
They're often preceded by a capital influx by central banks, though.
Yes, 100%, 100%. And Greenspan, you know, is probably looked at as somebody who was, historically, he'll be looked at as a guy who, you know.
Shit the bed.
Did the wrong thing. But that being said, this idea of home ownership, it's a very powerful idea that we've wrapped our entire national identity around this, owning a home. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but because it's such a powerful and seductive idea, and expanding that to low-income people, minorities, people that have been historically disadvantaged, is a powerful idea.
It's good to have equity, but they make it seem like everyone's got a fucking homestead in Montana.
Well, and they live a lot of the middle class, their main mechanism to achieve, to create wealth was their home.
Sure, but also, the counterpoint to that is that for many people, because of the nature of their finances and their like hand-to-mouth existence, they're owning the home for them. If you really can't afford to own a home, it ends up just becoming another thing that owns you, like the rent. You know, it's no different than rent in that case if you can't really, you know, effectively utilize your equity.
Of course. But because those ideas are very powerful, because then you have Wall Street, which is an amoral pit of snakes.
Sure.
Who then will figure out a way to take those powerful ideas and, you know, like you said, we want to expand the dream of home ownership.
Oh, okay, us too. Yeah, and they were more of a pit of snakes, and I didn't see anyone in like Deer Park, for instance, middle class people. Everyone's taking that second mortgage.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting expansions on their house.
That Bethany McLean book, man, All the Devils Are Here, is probably the best book.
Right.
It really charts it out. It walks it back. I think one of the things, the misunderstanding of a lot of these things is that people believe it's like a couple of people in suits scamming everyone.
Right.
That's a part of it. But the majority is everybody fucking was in on it. Everybody wanted they wanted that illusion.
Yeah.
So when everybody has a vested interest in that illusion,
yeah,
the guy that cries wolf and says, or not cries wolf, but cries out and says, hey, this isn't fucking the right thing to do, is ignored.
Right.
And then, obviously, you know, Big Short, that guy then makes a lot of money if he sticks to his guns and puts his money where his mouth is.
Right.
And he, you know, he shorted the entire economy, essentially. But that's what it comes down to. It was a fervor that swept everything. I saw it, and seeing it and seeing the hangover and seeing everything like that has made me think differently about everything, because everybody was wrong, but it was impossible to describe to you that really nobody knew that they were wrong. Nobody really knew.
And that's the thing about when people talk about regulation, how much it should be, they always discount the idea that people are going to act rationally.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, and part of the problem is that, like, a lot of these, you know, financial institutions are no longer partnerships, so it's not their money anymore.
Right.
So there's a level of that. And there's also a level at some point between the 60s, 50s and now, we lost that, like, there was always the greed. There was always the ruthlessness and just, like, the, you know, screw the poor, whatever the fuck it was. But there was a level of tastefulness, for lack of a better word. A level of, like, at least the appearance of social responsibility, of not just, which is completely gone. These people literally just, like, will loot an economy now. Like, it's not that they were doing anything great before, but there's a level of pure reckless abandon, like, for the actual structure of the economy that is just, it's, when this stuff bursts, there's nothing holding it back, because everyone is just completely invested, completely. No one, there's no meaningful hedges,
yeah.
Or you know, we're using CDSs, the fucking
credit hedge, default swaps
to hedge our bets. That, it's yeah. Like the idea, like, that no one was sitting there going, like, what about counterparty risk? These are all incredibly smart people,
yeah.
And no one thought of that.
No, because everybody's in a ticket. That's why I love the title of that book. I think it's from a Shakespeare play. I don't know. All the devils are here.
Yeah,
they're
great,
all there.
Great read.
It's a great read. It sold 18-19 copies.
Is she coming back?
Well, hey, listen, man, we can try to get her back. Well, we'll email her and ask her when she's going to be in New York.
I saw her on a documentary. I think it was the Alex Gibney series I was telling you about.
She's on that.
She's on the one about the.
Here's the thing, man. I like Bethany. We need her in studio.
I need her in studio.
And I. Oh God.
A crush on Bethany.
Oh boy. Bethany too. I think that we need her in studio, because I just think that an interview like that can't really, there's only so much you're going to get from it, having her on Skype and stuff like that.
Look, she's got to feed her dogs, so I mean, you know.
Kiriakou is really, really good. And Kiriakou is one of those interviews that was really, really good.
Had bad connections. It was about luck of the draw.
She had a bad connection, but I also feel like with that type of material,
it would be better to have her here.
Better to have her in. So we're going to try to have her in. We're going to try to get Anna Artunian in. I want to do another interview, because we haven't in a while, and I want to do a good interview.
Right.
And I think this Anna Artunian is a writer in Russia. That would be fucking really interesting. I'm going to try to work with her to get her in here, because, you know, Jane's not coming in, but read that fucking article.
It's a great article. Go pick up the New Yorker.
I mean, you want to give, what are the, you want to give odds on... I mean, I don't know. I almost feel like if he was going to go down, he would have went down.
No, that's not true.
No, that's not true.
Look at Watergate, for instance. I mean, it's as close as parallel.
Yeah.
It took them, I think it was 2 years before that he resigned. Right. Right? 3 years? He resigned like 70. He got reelected in 72. When did he resign? 75?
It took a while.
Yeah, it was like two years more in office.
It took a year, I think, from him. Like, it was a year of just... Like the scope of the investigation expanded to include him,
right?
And before he resigned, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was.
No, this is gonna go. The idea of this is like for me. Yeah,
Anthony Hopkins.
Might end up like, you know, I do think he should be removed from office, most likely. Yeah. Objectively speaking, I mean, I'd like to have him removed no matter what, but objectively speaking, it seems like the way he's operating, at the very least, is negligent and incredibly reckless.
I would love, just if you would get to ask a question, if he does run again, I'd love you asking a question in the next election. You're like, listen, Mr. Trump, I work the graveyard shift at a potato bread warehouse. Mr. Trump is just being like, yes, yes.
What we might end up happening is, like, whatever we get might come towards the tail end of this, at least this administration, you know, with a 4-year term. But I think it is important, because there's a level, and it's going to sound highfalutin, but the integrity of the republic, whatever that's left of that anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, to hold him accountable would do something
to... The integrity of the republic... Sir, step out of the car. The integrity of the republic depends on... Sir, is that someone's finger? What? What do you mean? Listen to me. The integrity. Listen, folks, before we go, hire me and Ray for your event. You know,
surprisingly, you'd be pleasantly surprised.
Let me I'd hope they'd be. People are like, I hope to God I'd be pleasantly surprised, because I'll tell you this, folks. Hire us for your event. We MC. I'm not even kidding now.
Yeah.
Weddings.
We should do weddings.
We'll do it all.
Bar mitzvahs.
Any of it.
Sweet 16s.
Whatever you want. Bring us in.
I know people in that business. I might be able to
put us in, coach.
This is going to be great.
We're riffing. We did great trivia.
Yeah.
We're real banter back and forth with the trivia. Those old fucks loved it. They couldn't get enough of it.
I promise not to bring up fish sticks as much as I did, you know, the other
Unless
night.
You have fish sticks at the event, which is a good chance
fish
you do.
Fish sticks.
Oh, fish dicks.
With the shape of water.
Oh, shape of water. You're talking about fish dicks.
Yeah.
No, well, we will discuss fish sticks.
All right.
That we can't promise. We can't promise that won't come up.
Right.
TimDillonComedy.com. I have dates coming up. I'll be at the Moon Tower. I'll be at the Magoobies at the end of this month. Well, I'll be in Detroit for the Laugh Fest, the 16th to 17th of March. I'll be at Magoobies the 29th to the 31st of March. I'll be at Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, April 16th and 17th. I will be at Clusterfest in San Fran in June, I believe. And I'm coming back to Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, coming to Providence, Rhode Island, coming to Zanies in Chicago, and more dates being added this summer. You know, we got a lot of stuff, fun stuff happening, more tour bus shows. Sign up, it'll be alerted for an
email.
Did
you mention the Vineyard Show?
Yeah, when is that? Good job.
The 24th.
24th.
Which is a Saturday.
Saturday.
I'll find out exactly.
At a Vineyard.
It's in Jersey somewhere.
It's in Cape May?
I'll find it.
It's a Vineyard in Jersey. Figure it out, folks. We're going to spell it out for you.
I'll have it in 2 seconds.
Figure it out.
You can see me on the 20, what did I say it was?
I don't know. But there's a Vineyard in Jersey, and we're coming to do a Tim Dillon's Going to Hell show.
On the 29th, you can see me at Artichoke Pizza.
Oh, boy.
And
sitting there in a booth alone.
I might be saying some things. Here we go. Uncorked Comedy.
Uncorked Comedy.
It's at the Willow Creek Winery.
Willow Creek Winery.
It's Saturday, March 24th, 8 p.m.
Saturday, March 24th.
It is in West Cape, New Jersey.
West Cape, May.
168 Stevens Street, West
Come
Cape,
on
May,
down.
New Jersey.
Come on, get your tickets.
It's going to be great. We're going to be drinking wine.
Wine, cheese.
I'm going to be talking about
You might look
books.
At Rango and me and go, they don't seem like wine acts. And you'd be right. We're more hard liquor, hard drug acts.
Yeah, I could drink.
But, hey, come on out, citizens of Cape May, New Jersey, West Cape May.
I may wear a sweater.
You know, I mean, it'll be hopefully it'll be warmer then. But
it'll be classy, though. Yeah, I'm trying to look classier.
Yeah.
What should I wear then? What, like a vest?
A barrel.
All right.
Tim Dillon's Going to Hell, folks. Please subscribe to us on Gas Digital. What will you just up the prices, Shannon? Tell us what they've won.
In April, the prices are going to be going up. So
they're going up in April, folks.
Get in now. Much like Bitcoin, just getting now.
Get in now. This is cryptocurrency.
Yeah, so use promo code HELL now, and you'll be grandfathered into the lower rates before they're raised.
$7 a month.
Real ass dollars is a new currency.
It's six bucks a month with the promo code right now. It's
$6
be
a month with the promo code right now. What's that for a year, Shannon? It's fucking nothing.
I don't know. I can't do math.
I can't either. Who gives a shit?
6 times 12, it's 60 and 72, yeah.
$72 for the year, folks. Nothing. You get everything. How many episodes we got, Shannon? 73?
87.
What?
87?
87.
That's an education. That is like a doctorate.
Hours.
A doctorate in nothing useful, but
87 hours in, I mean, amazing.
That's the internet for you.
That's the internet, folks. Listen, do you eat espresso beans?
Do I typically eat them?
Yeah.
No, but
what are they?
It'll be a treat. You never had like an espresso ice cream?
Yeah, they have a bean on top.
Similar thing. It's a bean inside. It'll have like a little caffeine boost. I've had them before. They're you don't eat too many at once. You'll get a little
speedy.
Well, also your stomach will get a little torn apart probably.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're nice in moderation.
All right,
Sean. Thank you so much,
Sean. This is very nice.
Really catapult yourself to the top of the heap.
Top of the heap. We'll be back next week. Goodbye.
Good luck with your job.